How's everybody doing out there?
Oh, I'm killer. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm Creepy Kentucky.
I'm Uncle Bill.
I'm Disco.
I just got...
It's January 21st. This month's almost over with.
It is. It's almost time for Feptember.
Yeah, and you know what happens in Feptember? Hell is unleashed.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
It's the Valentine month. Well, you all going to do on Valentine's Day, get drunk.
Yep. I have to celebrate Valentine's Day. We always get drunk. We get crunked.
Almost every night.
You're going to put some little smart hearts down in your vodka and drink it, too.
Happy Valentine's Day. Get up.
We're going to get candy-flavored moonshine.
That's good.
Sip on that.
Her favorite's penis-flavored vodka.
I do. I love the penis-flavored vodka. It doesn't really matter what it is. As long as there's alcohol in it, I'll drink it. I don't really care about anything else.
I don't either. I got the urge last night. I drank like a whole glass of that Patron.
Did you?
Mixed with lemon juice and just downed it.
Golly. That's hardcore.
Yeah. Well, it was one of those little glasses. So, but anyway, we've got an interesting show for you because this is the first time in many months that we've actually had a guest on
the program. After much deliberation and procrastination, we've actually decided to get a guest
and might I add
a very worthy guest in and of the fact that he's a staple in the horror genre and also like the science fiction action genre.
Yeah, a lot of funny stuff in this first part. We're gonna have a two-parter next week. We'll probably do all the Friday the 13th and stuff after Friday the 13th next week. This will lead up to. That'd be a good way to break it up. So you guys be going, "Ah, goddammit!
That's on here." But let's take a moment here and consider this for a second, though. How many Jasons have we now interviewed on this show? I know we've interviewed Ari Lehman. We've interviewed Steve Dash. We've
Tom Morga.
Tom Morga. We've interviewed...
Who else we interview? You ever thought about like all the Jasons that we've met? We've met almost all of them.
I think we have met all of them now, haven't we?
Like, at least seen them at conventions and shit. I know Ken Kurzinger was grinning at us when we were talking to Charles Pogue at Fright Night. I remember that. He was like, nobody gives a fuck about me.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't interviewed C.J. Graham, but,
the J. Ray Connection interviewed C.J. Graham.
Yeah, that's true.
And they interviewed Ted White. Ted White was like,
He was.
What's going on?
That guy's awesome.
I would interview Ted White about romancing the stone. He was in the opening scene.
I would interview him about being John Wayne's stunt double. Well, I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that he doesn't have any idea about anything to do with the
Hey there, Ted White.
What the hell? You going to interview my ass, Sonny Landham?
No, that's John Wayne. That's my John Wayne.
I thought that
sounds a lot
like your Sonny Landham. It does, yeah.
You son of a bitch. Yeah, so the latest of the Jasons, Derek Mears himself, the newest man behind the mask, if you will. Part one of the two-part interviews, a little bit later on, we're going to have a news portion that's a little bit condensed because there's a possibility of a massive plunder storm a little bit later on.
It's going to rock the foundations.
And we also are reviewing movies, DVD and a Blu-ray, Death. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we're reviewing the latest and possibly the last, although I seriously doubt it, especially judging by the ending of this film, of the Saw franchise. Oh. Saw, the final chapter. And we all know that whenever you call a movie the final chapter, it really is the end. That's never happened before it didn't end when you called it the final chapter.
Yeah, just when you think you know all the answers, they change the questions in this. And they'd be leaving you like, I got to go back and rewatch all of them now because they left these little details in there.
I just think, especially in this one, this will be hilarious to talk about, how fucking silly a lot of that stuff is. Where they go back and try to put people in certain roles and stuff. He's planting shit in his body and stuff. Look at that.
Then they bring Tobin Bell back for like two scenes just to have him a part of movie because they know they fucked up by getting that guy look like Eddie from Eddie and the Cruisers. It's like the villain in the last four movies.
Yeah, that Costas Mandalore guy.
Yeah, I got some.
And we also have the latest from Fred Vogel, Toe Tag. Pictures, the mastermind behind the August Underground movies. This is Sela Terceza. Terceca. We should find out how to pronounce this, because I'm...
They said it in the movie, and I thought about rewinding it, but I didn't. So...
I don't remember him saying it in the movie.
Yeah, they said it. That's where is it like, we'll talk about it.
Is it like when you say Pacifico?
Pacifico.
Pacifico.
Yeah, Aaron does it.
Tierra Torquica.
It's like Sela. Sela Tor. And then I kind of tuned the last part.
Sela Ward.
Sela. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be reviewing that film, which sounds an awful lot like Death Dream, but we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, warm in my head.
So let's go ahead, and we got the mailbag too. It's a very, it's a deep fucking bag this week.
Deepest.
It really is. Like we've got a shitload of questions this week for some reason. I don't know. But anyway, we do have horror news and other genre news to get to. So all you haters can finger fuck yourself. Let's go ahead and get into talk about this. This is big news, folks. The Dark Knight Rises, the third Batman film. From Christopher Nolan and Christian Bale and all these son of bitches. They've announced that Anne Hathaway, who's like in a lot of those Disney movies and shit, will be the latest Catwoman, at least the third or fourth Catwoman in film history, I think. And Tom Hardy, who I had no idea, I thought he was the other Hardy boy. I was like, oh, is Matt and Jeff, they have another brother? But evidently not. No, he's like, he was in Inception and a few other, a couple other Christopher Nolan movies. He's going to be Bane, which I believe is the, I think that they introduced that character who actually killed Batman back in the day. Like when, you remember
that
like,
was when the comic books, when he died off.
Yeah.
Bane was that big fucking guy that he had like steroid injection things hooked up to his arms and it would pump like steroids into him all the time.
Yeah. Because right. Remember like in the, I think the early 90s, when Jess was a toddler, they were, killing off, like, all the superheroes.
Yeah, they killed
Superman and Batman all together. Yeah. So, yeah, Warner Brothers announced Anne Hathaway as Selena Kyle in Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight Rises, be starring alongside Christian Bale, who returns as Bruce Wayne and Batman. Christopher Nolan stated, "I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to work with Anne Hathaway, who will be a fantastic addition to ensemble as we complete our story." In addition, Tom Holland playing Bane, Nolan said, "I'm delighted." Did I say Tom Holland? Tom Hardy. It's Tom Hardy. Unfortunately, Tom Holland didn't get the role. He's a little bit too old. But he says, "I'm delighted to be working with Tom again and excited to watch him bring to life our new interpretation of what one of Batman's most formidable enemies."
I just love how all this shit sounds exactly the same that these people say about when they cast somebody. It's always like, "Oh, we're so glad to have him on. It's going to be such an awesome time. They're going to be such formidable people.
Going to be killer, Quail. The Dark Knight Rises." It's slated to be released July 20th, 2012.
I do like that the conversation that we had about Anne Hathaway playing Catwoman, we were talking about it, and I was like, I really don't see her as Catwoman. And then immediately, the first thing that came to your mind was, well, she's got amazing tits.
I know, she does. That's what I said. We heard it out.
And I was like, I don't recall ever seeing her tits. And you were like, well, yeah, I used to get to see her tits in the...
Brokeback Mountain.
I was like, well, I must have completely been, like, concentrated on the gay sex aspect of that then, because I didn't see her boobs.
She was having sex with one of them in the back of their car in that movie, and then she took off her shirt, and she had big old tits. She really does. Crater put a thing on his
face. Oh, they would have to be fucking fake.
I don't think that they were.
Because, like, she's tiny, you know?
Well, just because there's tiny women does not mean... There's a lot of big women out there who have little boobs, and there's a lot of little women.
Yeah, big women with little boobs are fucking gross looking.
Well, but there are a lot of little women who have big tits.
Big women with little tits, though, is almost like just a fucking guy or something, like a fucking overweight guy.
If they're a big woman and they have big tits, is that okay?
Well, it depends on how big they are. Sometimes they can be so goddamn big they'll fucking drag the ground.
Like two basset hounds hanging on them.
Anne Hathaway, though, I've never been a fan of any of the movies. I've never really wanted to watch her in anything, so I don't know.
She's a very uninteresting actress.
And
like,
I think...
She's the female version of how, like, I look at Matt Damon. They're just incredibly uninteresting actors. And Leonardo DiCaprio, too. I look at all those people the same way.
Leonardo DiCaprio is kind of boring.
It's like,
but I don't know. Anne Hathaway, she might surprise
you. Leonardo DiCaprio has at least been in a couple of movies I've liked, though. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a movie with Anne Hathaway that I was like, oh, God, that movie's killed.
You didn't like, what was that one where Meryl Streep was in it?
Anything with Meryl Streep in it, I'm not going to like.
Well,
I can guarantee you
that. You didn't like The Devil Wears Prada?
No, yeah, you did. I've never seen that, actually.
I'm not going to watch anything with Meryl Streep in it, so there'd never be a chance
to
be like.
It's probably a good policy to have.
When they released Heath Ledger being the Joker, everybody's like, oh, no, he can't do that. It's going to fucking blow. And then they seen the picture. They're like, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
he might look pretty good. And then the movie come out and he fucking was awesome.
The problem is, though, the Catwoman character, the stalk and that shit's just fucking, you know, rock bottom after the Holly Berry bullshit.
Yeah.
And
it's Michelle Pfeiffer, I don't think anybody can really top that. She did a really good job, I thought.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think the superhero genre, though, like they're already making another Spider-Man.
I don't think anything
which is
get any more
a completely reboot.
It's as Batman.
That brings up another interesting point, though. Like, what was the best Catwoman? I know you had in the original Batman series, you had.
I would say Michelle Pfeiffer too.
What was the one chick that was the Julie Newmar? Okay, she was the white
only for like
chick.
The first year.
Yeah,
of that
and
show.
Then you had Eartha Kitt, who was the black Catwoman. And then I guess you would have had Michelle Pfeiffer.
Well, there was another Catwoman on the television show, though. I can't remember her name.
I never watched the television show, so I wouldn't.
Yeah,
know.
Television show was kind of goofy. I think there was, though. I think, like, Julie Newmar was only Catwoman for, like, a year or two. And then you had the black Catwoman.
It was Eartha Kitt, yeah.
And then, like, there was another Catwoman. I'm thinking. I don't know. I'm not an expert on that sort of thing, but... The Holly Berry thing, I've never, like, what the fuck? Why did she do that anyway? Like, that was so stupid.
I couldn't sit through that movie, though. I tried, but I just could not make it to the end of that movie.
So, anyway, yeah. We'll see. I like both of the other Nolan Batman movies. So.
I think what I was saying before is that no matter what.
We need to take a screwdriver to that damn thing or something and tighten it up.
No matter what it is, though, no matter how good or bad Anne Hathaway would be, I don't think anybody can get past Christian Bale's voice as Batman. That's
he's okay as Bruce Wayne.
As Bruce Wayne, he's fine.
Yeah.
But when he's Batman, it's so grunty and annoying. I can't stand it. That's the pulls from the movie.
I totally agree. Like, I would think he would be fine as, like, you know, the Bruce Wayne, but maybe somebody else in there is Batman.
Did you ever see that thing on YouTube?
It'd be funny, just change out the people in the middle of it.
It doesn't matter, really.
Did you see that thing on YouTube where those kids were making fun of Batman and Joker? No, I have to show it to you. They're
well, why can't
hilarious.
He just not do that, then? That might be the solution. Why does he have to talk like that?
I think Christian Bale's an asshole, though. He just does.
Well, he is an asshole. That's clear by all those tapes that leaked and everything, but...
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, he kind of made that character a joke by doing that. Because everybody spoofs that now.
Yeah, you can't get past it. I feel like I can't even
so
watch
maybe,
the
like,
movie.
Yeah, the next movie, Nolan will be like, all right, buddy, shut up. Quit doing that shit.
He should have Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, for God's sake. Can we get off the Joseph Gordon-Levitt kick for a while?
They should bring Michael Keaton back as Batman. He would just be Batman.
I actually like Michael Keaton as Batman.
I did too.
So.
Okay, anyway, let's transition into the Fright Night remake.
Yeah.
Old Colin Farrell says that he loved the original so much that when he read the script for the remake, he was hoping he wouldn't like it. However, he loved it. He adds that it's close enough in structure and story to the original despite a few changes, notably the Peter Vincent character that David Tennant is playing. I think he's a magician like David Blaine now instead of a horror host. But it's good to know, though, that Colin Farrell really, really loved the original movie.
He loved it because they were interested in him. He was like...
Everybody that ever gets cast in these remakes loves the original movie. Like, I'd like to hear one person come out and say, it was a piece of shit. I hated it. I'm going to make it better because you are stupid for liking it.
Yeah, like... I don't believe for a second that fucking Colin Farrell ever watched the original Twilight. At least before he got cast in this shit.
Yeah, I don't believe for one second that he picked up the script and said, I hope I don't like this so I don't have a job. Because he hasn't done anything.
I know, that's the thing. He hadn't been in shit in like 5 years.
It wouldn't have mattered what they threw in front of him. He would have been like, okay.
He was in Crazy Heart, though. He was in that.
Colin Farrell's like, he's fucking from England or something, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, they want me in a movie.
Any Irish?
I don't know what the hell he is.
They want me in a movie. Get me a beer.
Give me a beer.
I'm excited now.
I'm pretty sure that's Australian voice.
It doesn't matter.
I don't even know what voice that is.
Hey, they want me in the front. Not really, like, wait. Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
It's a girl. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so all Fright right. Night remake, I'm looking forward to the Fright Night remake.
Oh, I can't wait to watch that.
That's all I know about
it. You know how fucking Russell Crowe was fighting around the world, Colin Farrell fucking sucking cock around the world. So, anyway, with that, we're going to take a break, folks. And we will be back. We've got a couple more news topics to get to. And, of course, the newest man behind the mask, Derek Mills on DeadPRI.com.
Every year, hundreds of young people disappear. God help those who get caught in the tourist trap. Tourist Trap, the most bizarre motion picture you will ever experience, as three young girls are tricked, terrorized, and trapped in an old museum where human-like dolls have a life of their own. Now, they want yours. Tourist Trap, from Compass International.
Rated PG.
Nathan Hanneman from Horror Hound Magazine. You're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Howdy, folks, and welcome back to Dead Pit. I want to talk about the new Underground sequel, because I'm really looking forward to this, Uncle
Ben. Are you?
Casting notices have gone out for the fourth Underworld film, using the title Underworld New Dawn. Confirming previous reported rumors of that same name. Shooting is expected to begin in March up in Vancouver. That's George Romero country. With Kate Beckinsale ready to return as Celine. And Mans, Marland, and Bjorn Stein will direct. They're going to have two directors for this. That's always a good sign. Screen Gems has penciled a release date of January 20th, 2012. So I know Kate Beckinsale's really excited about that as well, because that's about the only damn bitch she can do. Like, oh yeah, do another one. I need money.
I was thinking about this movie in relationship to like Resident Evil. I bet those women, like Mila Jovovich, are fucking constantly ecstatic that those series exist, because that's really the only thing they ever do. Mm-hmm. You never see them connected to any other movie.
Well, I think Mila Jovovich is she's going to be doing the Fifth Kind.
The Fifth Kind. Yeah.
You wonder what they'd do if they didn't have those movies. You wonder
they
if
wouldn't
they would
do
actually,
shit.
Well, you never know, because they're really pretty, and I don't think Kate Beckinsale is that.
You know
of an
what?
Actress.
I don't fucking think Mila Jovovich is that attractive. I got to be honest.
I don't know
about Kate Beckinsale.
But. I think that maybe if that movie franchise wasn't there for them, that maybe if they had an opportunity to do something else. But because of that,
well, they're not
going to
be doing Shakespeare
it.
Or anything. They're not going to be making any kind of like big, you know,
I could
Inception-like
see
movies. I guarantee that. They'd
maybe they
like,
could do some X-rated movies.
Inception.
They can make money at that.
What is it?
X-rated films.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they could do that.
They probably could, especially together.
Yeah. Wow, that would sell quite a bit.
Yeah, my mind just exploded.
I don't know what it is like. And I don't want to be mean, because I don't know Mila. She could be a very nice person. I've just never had,
I've never
been fascinated. And there are certain people that are fascinated with, like, people from the Ukraine and just have that look. And I've never really been a fan of that. I don't know about you. They look like they.
I thought the only time that she was really, really pretty was when she was in Dazed and Confused. That would have been the first role that she was in, I guess. And just her look in that movie was like a hippie, and I thought she looked really, really good in that. But I've never really, she never really stood out to me.
Yeah.
Like
you know, all those fucking, like, video game nerds and shit jack off to her and stuff. Like, oh, God, yeah.
Well, she was in the Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, she was the one in the big costume, right?
You mean the Fit Element?
Yeah, the Fit.
Which people fit do, element. They do fit copy element. That costume quite a bit at, like, conventions and stuff.
I see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I remember her name in that.
You Crane bitches don't do it for me, though.
Well, what kind of bitches do it for you?
About any other kind.
Okay. Let's see. Almost Famous. Of course, this is one of your favorite movies. I believe this is the one of the movies you picked for, like, the top film of the last decade.
Oh, definitely. I think it was easily my favorite movie of the last decade.
The new Untitled, the bootleg cut, will be available on Blu-ray exclusively at Best Buy stores starting on January the 30th. In addition to the director's cut of the film, you'll get audio commentary with director Cameron Crowe, an intro by Crowe, the making of Almost Famous featurette, an interview with Lester Bangs, Cameron Crowe's top albums of 1973, Love Comes and Goes, The Small Time Blues, The Fever Dog music video, Vintage Rolling Stone articles, B-sides video, The Cleveland Concert, Stairway, the script, and the theatrical trailer. In short, a ton of shit.
Yeah, did you hear about that shit? Like, there's a scene in the movie that they filmed specifically for Stairway to Heaven, the entire song, and Led Zeppelin wouldn't let them use it.
No!
So they actually put it on there, but you have to actually have a CD or something for it to work. You know, they tell you when to sync it up,
which is pretty cool. Well, fuck me running.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that one. That movie, I think, I don't know how many awards it won, but I know it was nominated for quite a few when it came out. So, but it seems like over the years, like, it's sort of become underrated, like nobody really talks about it that much anymore. So I think it definitely deserves a Blu-ray.
Did Kate Hudson win anything for that?
I think she may have. Like, she may have been the only one that won something.
Did she win Best Supporting Actress for that?
You do get to see her titties in that, too. She's got really small ones.
But,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, like,
Trust me, he would know.
There's a scene when they're partying, and she's basically just dancing around the room, like, in with a jacket on. You can see her titties hanging out a little bit.
Oh, well.
Cute.
It's really brief.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It was an excellent movie, though.
I like that movie a lot, too.
Yeah, I think Feedback was the one that didn't like it.
He's like, I find it to be a bit stale and contrived. Oh, my God.
What do you think that was the best fucking movie of the last decade?
Oh, my God, it's not like you could look at the band and think it was a real band or anything, you know what I mean?
There we know why that was a real band from the 70s.
Well, I just got it.
So, that's actually all the news.
Exactly.
And as far as, like, theatrical releases go, there are really none worth a shit to mention, so I'm not going to mention them. But we do have some DVD and Blu-ray releases for Uncle Bill over there.
Yay! So here's your DVD and Blu-ray releases for January the 25th. Saw, the final chapter, which we're going to be reviewing on this show. Santa Sangre on Blu-ray, which I don't know. Is that a Jodorowsky film?
I think Severin is coming out with that.
Alejandro Jodorowsky. The Best of 2010 Raw. The Graduate on Blu-ray. The Best of
Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, The Best of 2010 SmackDown. And, of course, the best out of anything.
I'm definitely
the one that we're all looking forward to is season one of Webster.
Hey, George.
God.
Somebody smacked the shit out of Emmanuel Lewis.
I fucking love Webster, and how dare you talk shit.
Yo, what is it with you and liking shows with little midget kids in them? You like Different Strokes a lot, too.
Yeah.
Who the fuck couldn't like those shows? I'm sorry I don't like stupid shows that are on the FX channel.
Look, just because you don't watch Always Sunny does not mean it's a bad show. This show is fucking hilarious.
Nobody ever mentioned that show. I never knew that show exists until you came down here.
Runk used to mention it.
Yeah, he mentions it all the time.
But he's from Pennsylvania, so.
He's one of them uppity northerners.
Rob watched it.
Uppity northerner.
Whatever. That show is hilarious as all hell.
I'll just take your word for it. I'm never going to watch it. So,
sure.
At any rate, hey, we got an interview coming up, Uncle Bill.
I'm ready for it. Of course, I've already done it, but I'm still ready to hear it again.
Part one of our interview with Derek Mears, the newest man behind the mask.
Hey, Black. The man behind the mask. And he's coming for you. He's back. The man behind the mask. Oh!
Have no fear, it's Derek Mears. Your own dead man.
.com.
Were you a fan of horror films growing up? And if so, what were some of your favorites?
I'm completely a fan of horror films. I remember, I grew up in Bakersfield, California. I remember the Sunday matinees. It was like on Channel 5 or Channel 11. It came in really kind of blurry, but it switched between the weeks. Like one week it'd be like martial art movies, and the next week it'd be like creature features. And I was a huge fan of the creature features. I remember watching like the original Frankenstein and being confused when they showed like Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein. Like, wait a second, why is it funny now? I don't get this. But yeah, I really look forward to that growing up. I remember when I was. I'm going to go on a tangent from a question that you didn't ask me. I remember being so scared as a kid. Like, I forget how old I was. At an age where, like, I'm old enough to watch horror films. You think you are. I'm not. I'm a big boy. I'm not afraid. And I have my sister's, like, 8 years older than me. And she had her boyfriend over, and they were watching Salem's Lot in her room. And I'm like, I can watch that. And like, Derek, you're too young. I'm like, no, I'm not. And I remember they left for something, and I went in and started watching Salem's Lot, and it was one of those like horror moments where I'm like, I can do this. My back was to the TV, and right when I turned to the TV is where the Nosferatu like rose up, the full face reveal, and I totally freaked out and screamed, and it was a scarring moment for myself.
Yeah,
I realized there's no payoff to that story.
Well, nothing
happened.
That's a horrible film to try to test yourself on, though, anyway, because that's got some, like, truly terrifying moments in it.
Oh, that's so true. That is completely true.
But,
what is
your background, though? I mean, did you start in, like, stunt work first? Did you start in acting first? Like, how did you get started in, like, entertainment?
entertainment. I grew up in Bakersfield, California. I was a misfit nerd. I have a disorder called alopecia, so I don't grow a ton of hair. I had like, you know, spots of the hair missing and whatnot, and I was really into theater. But, what got me into acting was, I grew up playing Dungeons and Dragons with my friends. I'm like, oh my God, is there any way I can do this for a living? Because I would love to do this. And, because of Dungeons and Dragons, I went and started going to theater in high school, and fell in love with acting. At the age of 17, I went and saw a show called Comedy Sports, which is a national franchise improvisation show, kind of like more a team-oriented Whose Line Is It Anyways?
Mm-hmm.
And I fell in love with it, and I was like, this is great. And I took a workshop just for the fun of it, having no intentions to do it. And at 17, the owners were like, hey, we think you're funny. Do you want to join the main company? I go, wait, I'm like the youngest performer. Everyone else is an actual adult, and they're like, we know. I'm like, okay. So that kind of gave me the logic. I actually moved to Los Angeles to do acting and comedy. And I kind of fell into, no pun intended, the stunt business. My first big job was, or hire, was at Universal Studios for the Wild 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 West stunt show. And what happened was, they would hire half actors and cross train them to do the stunts for the show. And they'd hire stunt people and cross train them to do the acting. And I was an actor who they hired to do, cross train me to do the stunts. And, I became friends with a lot of the stunt guys. And, they would take me out and like, hey, we're going to go learn air ram or some wire work or fight scenes. And I would go hang out with them. And, kind of picked it up. Well, I guess. And I started doing stunts as well. So the career was kind of always bounced between acting and stunts. And now it's gotten to the point, I haven't done stunts for like 3 years now. It's all been acting. So the end.
Well, I noticed one of your first film credits was The Demolitionist, which was Robert Kurtzman's. I think it was Robert Kurtzman's first movie. Who's a pretty good friend of the show too. Can you talk about your experience on that? How you got that role?
Man, you do some seriously good research. Very nice, Wes. Oh my goodness. I was still in Bakersfield at the time. And I had no idea that I was going to move to Los Angeles like years later. I had, at the time, all I had was family taekwondo experience. And a friend of mine was like, hey man, I'm doing this movie. You want to come out and do this film? And I was so, so nervous. I drove to Los Angeles. And we worked with Richard Grieco and Nicole Eggert. I remember at one point Richard Grieco would look in his reflection in the fire extinguisher holder, and he fix his well-clothed hair. He looks over at me and he's like, "Hey, do you know who you remind me of, kid?" And I'm like, "I don't know." You remember that guy from that movie, Heels Have Eyes? You ever seen that? I'm like, oh yeah, that's a, yeah, thanks.
God.
So, that was, funny because later on when I actually did Heels Have Eyes 2, a full circle of that. But, I remember, we shot a scene, I had no idea what I was doing whatsoever. I was like, I didn't even want to say I was green. I was like pre-green. I wasn't even a thought of being green. There's a scene where we're robbing a bank with Richard Grieco, and all I had to do is look intimidating behind him and with one hand cock a shotgun. Like, he does his dialogue, I forget what it was, like, and I, oh, I don't think so. And I look angry behind him, I'm like, I got this, this is going to be amazing. And so the take they do, he does his line, I go, all I have to do is one-handed shotgun cock. And I've been practicing it like 15,000 times before the take. And action. I delivered my dialogue line. Here's me. And I totally lost character. I look completely sad at the gun. I look at the camera static. Oh, and cut. Okay, Derek, you need to do that with one hand and look intimidating and not be so sad. I'm like, oh, God. Okay, sorry. But Kirkman was awesome. I really enjoyed working with Bob, and it was strange, like a full circle. Like later on in my career, when I did Cursed, the werewolf movie with Christina Ricci, I played the main werewolf. Meeting the guys from KND, which for the people who don't know, Robert Kirkman and Bob Kirkman is the K in the KND. Which stands for Kirkman, Nicotero, and Berger. And working with them on Cursed, and then going full circle, having Bob go, hey, I remember that guy. I worked with him on The Demolitionist. And now I work with KMB all the time. They're like family. It's real, real, real weird full circle.
I was also going to ask you about, I guess that like one of your first major film roles was probably like Men in Black 2. Is that right?
The first main success was Wild Wild West.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's a success, but I would say my first like big summer blockbuster that I was fortunate to be a part of was Wild Wild West.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But thinking about like, you know, K&B, and then did you work with Rick Baker on Men in Black 2?
Yeah. Rick basically gave me I owe a lot of my career to Rick. We met on Wild Wild West. He cast me, and he brought me in and put my name up for Men in Black 2. He put me up for Cursed and some other creatures. I'm so thankful for him. He was so kind. He's like, he'd always pitch me like, he's a tall guy. His body's proportionate, but he's actually a professional actor and he can do the physical. So it's so amazing being a fan of all the sci-fi and horror stuff. And being able to be brought in, like when he brought me in to meet Wes Craven for the first time, trying to be cool in front of Wes and try to act like, oh, I'm totally comfortable and not you know, geeking out like a fanboy. I remember for Curse when he brought me in, Wes was like, so I hear you're the guy. I'm like, what? Inside my head, like, that's amazing. I'm like, oh, that's, then switching to professional side, going, oh, that's very nice. So, that's a nice compliment. It was, I still, to this day in my career, I keep going, how the hell did I get here? I'm talking with so-and-so-and-so. I'm a crazy fan of it. It's unbelievable.
I would just imagine, though, being, like, thrust in with people like, I mean, Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones and just all the different people that are associated with those films. I mean, do you have any particularly, like, memorable experiences, I guess either good or bad, with the actors like that?
Oh, for sure. Before working with Will Smith, I was a fan of his work. And being that I was still new to the business at the time, when we met on Wild Wild West, he is such a kind human being. When he would talk to, it didn't matter if you were as a caterer all the way up to like the main producer of the show, he treated everybody with equal respect. And I remember talking to one of the guys in his entourage, and I go, hey, is that like an actor? Is that? He goes, whoa, 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 whoa. No. He goes, Will Smith is Will Smith 24 hours a day. That's just how he is. And I was so impressed with that, because I'm of the same philosophy of, like, nobody's better than anybody else. We all have our skills in different areas. It doesn't matter what you do. And I was just someone to his, an actor at his level and with that talent, just being so kind and sending out so much positivity like that, I was really blown away. And I'm happy for his success. He's a good guy.
You mentioned Curse before, and I know that that's a movie that was filmed like years before it actually came out. It was plagued with a lot of problems on set, I think, and stuff like that. Can you talk anything about that? Do you remember any experiences on the set of that movie?
Yeah. Man, we shot that off and on for about a year and a half. It was crazy. It was riddled with problems. We actually shot, originally Rick Baker designed the werewolf for the movie, and we shot a full feature with Skeet Ulrich and Christina Ricci were the two leads, a full feature. And it was like, once we finished, we worked like 4 months on it. Once it was done, I heard, like, look, we're not happy with it. This film is never going to see the light of day. And I'm like, wow, okay, that's fine. So I was in Europe doing something. It does vacationing or so. I was like, I'm talking asshole. So I was vacationing in Europe. Jesus. I was in Europe and I got a call from the production company going, hey, we're going to redo the entire film. We need you back if you're available to do the werewolf. I was like, what? So they rewrote the film. I came back. At this time, this is when Rick Baker was going on his temporary hiatus from films. He kind of took a little break for a while. And KMB came in and took over. And so they modified the werewolf, made it a lot rattier looking, and they brought Joshua Jackson in and reshot the entire film again. Like there's another 4 months. And then there's like a couple weeks off, and then I get a phone call after that going, hey, we're gonna bring you back. We're gonna reshoot the ending. I go, okay, this is like the third reshoot. Okay, deal, I'm in. So I came back to reshoot that. Then a few weeks after that, they go, okay, We're gonna keep the ending we have, but we're gonna add another ending on the top of that. Okay. And then even after that, I called again to reshoot something, and at that time I wasn't available. And they went, oh, no, okay, we're only gonna take the hand of the werewolf, so we don't really need you. Just a hand. And I go, oh, okay. But it was funny though, because I was on the show for so long, we had so many different actors come into the set from time to time. I felt like though it wasn't my show, I felt like I was a host. Like, people would come in, I'm like, hey, what's going on? Welcome to the show. This is Catering over here. That's so-and-so. If you need anything, let me know. So I kind of became the liaison to new people coming in, going, oh, no, I've been here forever. It's kind of like my second home. I haven't left. So, I would love to see the first version. I don't think anyone's ever seen it.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a pretty cool DVD maybe down the line, release like the alternate version of it or something like that. That would be interesting to see for sure.
Yeah, really cool. I remember I kept messing with Rick Baker and going like, you know what we need to do is like, sure, werewolves are totally scary, but you know what else is scary? He's like, what, Derek? Six guns. Guns in general are scary. And he's like, what are you talking about? What about this? What if the werewolf had like six guns, like cowboys six guns? Because that would scare the crap out of me. He's like, just shut up. Just put the head on. Okay. I kept thinking like ridiculous ideas over and over, and he would laugh. He's such a great guy, man. He's such a legend. That was a lot of fun. Good memories on that show.
Hey, this is CJ Graham, Jason, Friday the 13th, Part 6, and you're listening to DeadPit.com, and that's the best station around. So remember that, CJ Graham, Jason, Friday the 13th, later.
Wasn't that a kick-ass fucking interview, Uncle Bill and Jess Cole?
Yeah, it gets even better in the second part.
That's right, because that's when we start talking about Friday the 13th.
That's true. That's how
Seamus
says, yeah, 13th.
Yeah, when he always says third, it sounds like he's saying
turd. Turd!
I'm not going to be in third place, fella! No. It is that special time of the show, though. It's that special time.
Mail, bye!
Hi, Jessica. You got a bunch of questions for me.
I do. I have a ton of questions.
So get to your... uneven scene for the show.
The snow is coming.
I know. I got to hurry it up.
It's going to be coming all over our faces.
There's going to be snow all over my face.
Get a snow job.
So what
you know there actually is a thing called a snow job?
I've heard of snowballing. But
yeah,
I've never
that's
heard
what
of
it was. Snowballing.
A snow job.
You told
yeah,
me that.
You told me that.
I often forget.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want, that's sick. I don't know what it is.
Oh, really? Is that cross the line
gross?
For you?
That's gross. Do you want me to describe it?
Have you ever snowballed somebody?
God. What?
Tell them what it is.
If you ever snowballed anybody, I want to meet that sick son of a bitch. Because that guy needs some help.
No, I've never snowballed anybody.
For those of you that don't know what it is, I'll explain it because y'all are a bunch of pussies. It's where you come in a girl's mouth, and then she holds it in her mouth, and then you kiss her, and like she spits it into your mouth.
That's awesome.
So you guys have done that?
Oh, we do that every night.
Well, every night.
I'm in it like, I'm all swimming, tastes good.
We just swap it back and forth. That's how things go.
Yeah. You keep like a little fucking like old milk jug.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was sick, wasn't it? And then you added all this shit on
there. That was real gross. Everything before that was gross. Yeah. But that makes it.
That was fine.
That makes it PG again.
Yeah. Well, this is a PG show, folks, because guys didn't know.
Okay, so Scott Sanderson says, "Hey, guys, I love the show.
Thank you.
I am an Australian fan and recently found out about the site. Yay! I was just wondering what you guys thought of the 2009 horror movie Orphan. I love films that concern killer children and was also wondering if you know of any other good films like that.
Well, you're in luck, buddy.
That's the thing, though. Orphan wasn't a movie about a killer child.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to say that because it gives away the whole goddamn movie.
Well, I like the movie quite a bit. I don't know what it is. I've always been a fan of just evil kid movies.
Wasn't she from the Ukraine or something, too? So that combines, like, two things right there. Killer children movies and Ukrainian kids.
Because I hate kids anyway, you know, and you feel the same way.
Oh,
you know?
I do.
So I always hate them just anyhow, you know. And the fact that they're fucking evil makes me hate them even more.
But in this movie, though, it was Esther. Wasn't that her name?
Esther.
She was the killer kid. In that. I loved Orphan, though, when I watched it.
I watched it on DVD. I got to say, yeah, when I saw the trailer.
Unfortunately, I knew what the ending was before I saw it, though.
I didn't.
I didn't either. I was kind of thrown. I thought that maybe that there was a ghost involved or something.
Yeah.
Very confused.
Because I'd heard a lot of people say about the twist ending and stuff. And I don't know. But I liked the movie quite a bit. That
so
answers your question.
He's wanting no other killer kid movies, though. You got
Mikey. That's
Devil
one
Times
that's like
5.
Underrated. You remember Mikey, though, with the little kid that was in Family Ties?
I remember that one.
Yeah, that was another one that was a killer kid movie.
I really, really liked Devil Times 5, though. Code Red put that one out. That was like a killer kid 70s
Bloody
movie.
Birthday. Is
Bloody
Birthday is
a good one, yeah.
Recently, Case 39 was kind of a killer kid movie.
Yeah.
Any of the Omen movies. Well, I guess the first.
The Pit.
Two.
The Pit's weird because it's not really a killer kid movie, but it is. I mean, it's.
It's a killer teddy bear movie.
But it's a
what
kid that's
the
like the main.
Of the corn?
Oh, God.
Everybody knows that one.
I hate
on.
Children
that
of corn.
That one is just all kids. Makes me kind of nauseated.
The Good Son is a...
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a good one.
Actually, in the Offspring movie, or From a Whisper to a Scream, there's a really good part of the anthology. It's about killer kids.
Yeah. The Bad Seed. That's probably one of the first ones. And there's actually a remake of that that's, I think it's out in Warner Archive, which I'd like to get, but I'm not about to spend $15 for a DVD-R. I don't know, there's so many of them. But,
that should be enough, buddy. That's about
7 or 8. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, my good old friend, Steve Parody. What do the deadpit guys and girl prefer when watching a foreign film? English dubbing or subtitles? He says, I know many people don't care for reading subtitles. I personally prefer to watch it in its native language.
I know the cool thing is I enjoy reading the subtitles. But I can't, like, focus on the movie and read the subtitles.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that.
Yeah, so I just fucking put the dubbing on there. Who gives a shit?
A lot of people say it takes away from, like, the natural flow of the film or something.
I don't give a fuck.
I'm just telling you what a lot of people say. Yeah. You don't have to get violent towards me.
I'm just saying, though, like it, my concentration on the movie lacks if I have to read the damn movie to bother.
I honestly, sometimes if the dubbing is really, really bad, it actually distracts me more than reading the subtitles because I'm like sitting there watching it and it's not synced up at all and it's just very distracting to what's going on.
Well, there's a few occasions where it doesn't matter. Like,
Fulci films, it doesn't matter because, or Argento films, the dubbing doesn't matter at all because there's not even enough dialogue for.
Well, I mean, there's not a choice.
Yeah.
They dub all that shit. But the, like the Asian films we used to watch, because a lot of those didn't even have a lot of, like, talking in it. It was just all visuals, pretty much.
I like the dubbing just because I have a hard time reading things from far away, anyways.
Did you ever notice, though? Have you ever played a movie with the subtitles on and then play it with the dubbing? And, like, 9 times out of 10, it's completely, like, it's not completely different, but the script and the things that they say during the dubbing are different from the things they put in the subtitles.
Yeah, but you still get the idea.
See, the thing is, like, a lot of people got really pissed off about Let the Right One In when that DVD and Blu-ray first came out. Like, the dubbing was different than, like, what it should have been, and there was a big uproar about that. Like, to me, I just don't give a shit about that sort of thing. Like, the movie, a lot of the movies, like, as long as the visually it hasn't been fucked with, and you can either hear it or read it or whatever, who gives a shit?
I just think it's weird, though.
I liked it in High Tension, though. I like how they did that. But the actress in High Tension, she read it herself in English, so when they did do the dubbing, it was her saying what it was, so she knew how it was when she was acting in the movie when she was French.
She definitely,
French,
yeah.
Right? She was acting the movie out so that when she read it in English, so she knew what the feeling was, so it was better conveyed.
Well, she likes, she lives in France, right?
I think it's French.
Her last name is France, so she must really love her country.
What's the second part of the question?
He says, bonus question.
Bonus!
What is the best foreign horror film in the last 10 years?
I would say High Tension.
I'd say Martyrs.
Oh, Martyrs, yeah. Like, I liked High Tension, too.
I'll say High Tension, because if it wasn't for High Tension, you would have none of that shit.
But Martyrs and High Tension, I think, are both it for me.
The Let the Right One In was another good one. I think Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, as far as the Asian movies go, that was one that I...
A lot of people would say it would be like Audition or...
Old Boy.
Old Boy, yeah.
Yeah.
But we're not a lot of people, so fuck you.
Yeah, as far as like the Vengeance trilogy goes, I'd totally say Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance is the best of that trilogy.
Okay. Sean Lynch says, hey guys, loving the...
It's David's boy.
Loving the Jesco mailbag. Thanks.
There you go. He's a fan of the bag.
Yeah, he likes my bag. Just wondering if you guys are noticing just a lack of quality films in general in 2010. I seriously only liked about 20 films this year. Horror stands out where Wreck 2 and Piranha, but other than that, mostly crap films all year. Do you think there will be an upturn in good films in 2011?
No.
So, basically, like, it was 2010.
I think for the last couple years, mainstream movies has been, like, down.
I gotta admit, though, this past year has probably been the worst overall, just for stuff that I've been excited to go see at the theater, and there just haven't been anything. And the stuff I've been disappointed in, except for maybe one or two movies.
Well, it's kind of disappointing, too, like, and I have nothing against, like, the Coen brothers or anything like that, but why are they remaking shit? Those guys are really talented.
Like, I don't know, but that movie's awesome.
I ain't talking about that, though. I'm saying, like, those guys, think of the shit those guys have done, and even they are remaking shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And remaking it pretty much verbatim from the original movie, from what I can understand. I mean, the characters and... the plot and everything. But everybody, I mean, I'm not talking about the movie. I'm just saying, like, it seems like everybody is just, they just don't give a fuck. Everything's like something that's already come out.
You know, it was a 50% drop in the amount of horror films that released from, like, 2009 to 2010. Just the amount is a lot lower. And it seems like the stuff that was released was mostly remakes or sequels.
Or shit.
And yeah, the original 3D stuff, horror films, there's only like Splice and couple other ones, and they didn't do worth a shit. So I mean, overall, it is kind of bad.
Yeah, if you really look, the original stuff that's not a sequel or a remake, God, it's got to be like a handful at most. Like,
and even the films that people cream their jeans about that weren't horror films, like Inception, and I was watching that, and I was just like, this is not my idea of entertaining. It was like watching a goddamn Rubik's Cube or something.
It was very, very confusing. It was, I don't even feel bad by saying I was confused. And you know, there's only one reason why I liked that movie.
But people love that, though. People like to analyze films love something to be as confusing as fucking possible.
Yeah.
So they can go back and jerk off and watch it and try to put, like, hidden meanings in
it. Ew! Look at this!
Hmm. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to see that Wreck, too, because he's like the second guy who's mentioned it. No, I haven't.
The original Wreck is freaky as shit. I remember that.
I hadn't seen.
Yeah,
it's supposed
to
be pretty good. It was on the cover of Rue Morgue.
Haven't seen the original Wreck?
No.
I've got it up there if you want to borrow it.
I would like to.
It's got some visual, like, it's just like, similar to Quarantine. I mean, Quarantine was...
Yeah, I remember seeing the cover of it.
Yeah.
It had, like, that.
But the way they did it, with the camera work and a lot of the visuals and shit, is freaky as shit.
Okay.
Like, it's the same premise as Quarantine and everything, but almost like with Quarantine, you're giving, like, somebody from the sixth grade a camera and telling them to do it, rather than somebody that graduated, like, high school or college or whatever, and with Rick. It's just like those guys really... There's a big difference than just the way it was constructed.
People made Saul were like in special ed then, right?
Yeah.
We'll
talk about Saul a little bit later on.
He also asked if there's any films that you're looking forward to seeing this year at all.
Scream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All looking forward to Scream. What else? What else is coming out?
I don't even know what else is coming out. I feel so out of the loop.
I don't know. There's not a lot, though. Like, I can't really think of any.
Well, shit. I don't know.
I know Scream. Scream,
yeah.
Yeah, so there's one so far.
We'll be doing a review of that. That'd be about it. Dipping on the Road Season 5 will be like one review.
All right. Kelly Record.
Kelly Record.
Is it Record?
Kelly Record.
Says, hey, guys and gal, what are y'all favorite championship belts of all time? Mine is the classic Intercontinental title, 85 to 98. As for the new format, any dead pit is a good dead pit.
That's right. What was your favorite belt?
I have no idea. I don't know much about wrestling.
I like the Dead Pit National Championship belt, though. That was awesome.
The Western States Heritage title.
That's right. The Archer Park Memorial title.
Yeah. I don't know. I always liked the classic like Winged Eagle from the late 80s to the mid 90s.
Yeah. I mean, the classic belts I thought were a lot better. The WCW Heavyweight Championship from around that same time period was really cool. And
I always liked the classic tag belts, too.
And, of course, the Divas Championship belt they got now with the butterfly on it's awesome.
Yeah, you got one of those.
Yeah, I wear that around the house.
Wear those khaki pants.
That's all he wears. That's what he wears and goes to bed at
night. I am.
I'm the Diva. Seems like a lot of the belts now, though, like... I don't know, man. Like, they really need to change the spinner title, but it doesn't really spin anymore. I don't know what you call it. It's shitty looking, though.
It is.
Don Muggins says, with the new format and all, what will be the first non-horror release to get the Dead Pit push?
I thought long and hard about this. Actually, I saw that question. I would have to say Yogi Bear.
Yep.
That should be the one that we give the Dead Pit push to.
Do you mean like what title that we have that we're going to...
What movie?
Yeah.
Like a new movie or...
That's non-horror. What?
Yeah.
I liked Black Swan, but I guess...
That's still kind of got horror elements, though.
Kablooey.
God.
You don't get kablooey.
You're going to push Kablooey.
How about Bucky?
let's see. Out of all the stuff that I've seen recently, by far, that was non-horror, by far the best film was True Grit.
Yeah.
So, if I was going to push anything, it would be that.
True Grit was really,
by
really good.
By a damn mile, that movie was better than anything else I've seen.
Now, have you seen the original True Grit?
No. I've never seen the one with John Wayne.
Yeah. I thought you said that you seen it a long time ago. But it's been so long.
Well, hell, I may have.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
But I don't remember anything about it.
It's pretty cool, too.
Ronald Rose says, hey, guys, what do you think about the new 3D versions of Blu-rays?
It's a fad that I don't think it'll last, to be honest with you.
I think if they can push it, I mean, you'd have to have so much money behind it like they did with Blu-ray. That it could be
it's
popular, but I don't think that they'll.
It's too soon.
They won't get like, behind it.
Yeah, it's. I mean, okay, if you could do that, and you didn't need a new TV and just needed a new player, I would say maybe it survived. You just have to buy too much shit. You know, you have to buy a new TV again, and unless you have a PlayStation 3, a new Blu-ray player. Like I think PlayStation 3 is the only one that can actually be upgraded to 3D Blu-ray.
Yeah, he says that, given I don't own a 3D TV yet, I still spend the extra few dollars and opt for the 3D version just to be safe. Also, do any of you double dip on Blu-rays? I've already done so with Predator, Raging Bull, and Avatar.
Nope.
Blu-ray. I don't know. I don't think we have any like extra copy of Blu-ray.
No, we don't.
I mean, it just hadn't gotten to that point yet where I thought.
To expand.
I mean, they have released like newer editions of some that I have, but I don't really like the Predator one.
Yeah, but that one's not even supposed to be any as good as the past one, though.
And then Avatar, like, what's the point of that?
I think the Avatar one has more extras and shit. That was one of those where they released, like, a sort of a bare-bones one at first, and then, like, 6 months later, come out with one with a ton of
extras. That's probably still one of the best-looking Blu-rays that there is, though.
Yeah, I haven't watched it on the big TV yet, but when I first watched it on the regular one, it's still really
pretty.
It's
a good movie, too.
It looked really pretty.
Like, the thing is it's not, like, a lot of these movies are just visual movies and shit. To me, like, it's still a pretty good movie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not just eye candy.
I love his next question.
Bradley Lee Costello. Oh, this is the best question ever. Julia Roberts or Anne Hathaway? Who has the biggest horse smile?
Killer.
I never even thought about that. I think that Julia Roberts. Ever since someone had mentioned that she has a horse smile, I can't get past it now. She has a big ass smile.
A big head.
She
big
does.
Mouthy head.
She does. Her head is all mouth.
I think they're both kind of hot, so I don't know.
You're going to say you don't recognize the fact that they kind of
have
a horse look.
I just think some people, like, can find anything, and I think we know somebody that's like that, on a woman that they just say, oh, you know, any little thing. So I don't know. It doesn't bother me. Fuck it.
Well, he's not asking if it bothers you. No, he's asking which one you think is more like a horse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Julie Roberts. It's much more noticeable on Julie Roberts than it is Anne Hathaway. Anne Hathaway just got a big smile, but Julie Roberts is.
And big tits.
Her whole fucking head is kind of dependent on her mouth.
I'll agree with you all then.
Okay, that'll be better if you just did that.
I'm still not above smacking the shit out of you. So.
Go ahead.
I'm not even kidding.
Rafe. Ouch. Rafe Gutman.
Raffy.
Raffy? I don't.
We don't know either.
I call him Raffy.
Raffy Gutman.
I think it's Rafe.
Hey, baby, my name's Raffy Gutman.
Oh, good Lord. He says, being the ballers and shot callers of Horror Talk Radio, you all have become acquainted with talented actors, directors, producers, artists, and Ari Lehman.
Wow, yeah. Wait, what?
Is it difficult to remain objective when you know the creator? Do negative interactions with actors and directors impact your views of their works? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
It's sort of like you have to tiptoe around some things sometimes. But, like, I think we both learned a little while ago that we shouldn't be so fucking mean to some of these independent filmmakers. Because when we first started reviewing independent films, like, we would just be fucking mean about it. I don't know why, but we just were.
Well, I think that if it's somebody that I know and that I like and that I've been around a lot, then I'm probably much more apt to not say something about one of their films or to just leave stuff out.
Yeah, a lot of times we just won't review it because, like, there's some people that we know we're close friends with that have done some of the awfulest shit on the man, to be honest. I'm not going to name names. But we just don't review it. Because, like, there's no way we could actually review it and not just fucking, like, sandblast the shit out of it.
But on the opposite side of that, though, I've had a really, really bad experience with Tom Savini. But, yeah, I still like all of the movies that he worked on in that way. So it didn't, like, color the way that I looked at those movies. I just don't ever want to be around Tom Savini. Like, if I see him at a convention or anything, I just don't want anything to do with him.
Yeah. You actually put over Zombiegeddon, which he was in, too.
Oh, yeah, who didn't love Zombiegeddon? But when he's in, nowadays when he does his little gigs and like Machete and stuff like that, I don't hate the fact that he's in it or anything. It's just, I don't.
I do.
Tom Savini is.
Dick.
He is just like. He is sort of a douche. But like when we talked to him on the fucking phone, like I don't get that. Like he was awesome when we talked to him for an interview and stuff. Then, like, Felcher seems to really like him for some reason. So I don't know if it's just like he sort of turns this thing on at conventions when he's around a lot of people and is just sort of like shut off a little bit or what.
I don't know.
And I've heard people say like that go to his school, I can't remember the name of it, in Pittsburgh, that he's awesome, you know, at the school and shit, and he jokes around with you, and but I, so who knows. But anyway, like, most independent filmmakers suck, let's be honest.
But in separating, in like, if it's a mainstream filmmaker or something, and I've met him at a convention, like Romero, for instance, is somebody that I really, really like and respect, I usually don't have a problem with that, because I guess I just figure he's got enough people blowing smoke up his ass about the films that it's not really going to pay that much attention to.
Well, it's not like he's going to fucking listen and be like,
no.
So, he's been talking shit about me.
There are some people out there who, based on personal connections to people, will fucking like everything that they ever do. I do know that for a fact.
That's true. Yeah, it seems like a lot of these bloggers and pretentious motherfuckers that used to run horror magazines or whatever. I'm not naming names again, but, you know, you make your assumptions. It's like, you know, they look at things like they're, like everybody is reading their shit and like, oh, I must put so-and-so over, you know, kind of bullshit.
Go.
Okay. Metal Man says, hey, guys and gal.
I met a man. What's going on, baby?
He says he's been a while from the he's been away from the show for a while and just wanted to know, let you know that the new format and Jess is a breath of fresh air. Aw, thanks. She brings a whole new different personality and opinions, and she likes to drink, yup, which is always cool with me. Yup.
So he was really putting you over, Jessica.
Well, thanks, Metal Man. And he talked about drinking, and I kind of want to drink.
Well, you always want to drink.
I always want to drink. Actually, would like to have a drink right now.
She is an alcoholic, so we don't really want to sort of like encourage her that much. But
yeah,
we
don't tempt her, really.
We can
look forward to getting totally fucked up at Horror Hound weekend in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's going to be fucking off the chain insane. I think I'm going to start drinking about 11 o'clock one day. See how fucked up I get.
You're going to pull a Joe.
I'll be laying on the bed. And
okay. Go. What's the question? He's got a quick question.
He's got one quick question. Are there any Blu-rays you were excited to see that let you down? You can't say Ghostbusters.
We were watching Ghostbusters again the other day. I thought it looked fine on Blu-ray.
Yeah,
Well, it didn't. You were wrong.
Yeah, well, that was just...
You liked it, too. You was like, hey, it looks bad in hell.
Movie that we were watching that just... I don't know. The first time we saw it.
Okay, here's for all the Blu-ray newbies out there. Older movies are not going to look as good as new movies, usually.
The Goonies looked awesome.
Usually, I said. Like, if you see a movie with a lot of grain on it, that's usually... You can't remove that a lot of the time. It's actually in the fucking film. Unless you want to go back and make it look like everybody's wrapped in saran wrap and shit using that digital noise reduction.
So what one bothered you? Like you thought it was going to be awesome and it didn't turn out like that. I was trying to think.
That's a tough one because like a lot of them are just like amazing. I don't know. All Blu-rays are pretty killer. I actually think, like, the Predator one was, I thought it was a letdown when we watched it. Because the movie itself, like, where it's all in the jungle, and you would think it would look really cool. But I just didn't really like the Predator Blu-ray that much.
I don't even remember it now. I can't think of any on top of my head. Almost everything I've seen in Blu-ray has looked at least the same as a DVD. I mean, it hasn't disappointed me or anything.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time, you're going to notice a major difference between, like, especially if you've watched a lot of Blu-rays and you haven't watched any DVDs for a while, and you put a DVD in, it is a major difference.
He says, keep up the killer work, and this show has never been better.
Thank you, metal man. And Jess, really thank you for the kind words, because she hasn't really got a lot of kind words from people, and people have been mean to her, and I'm mad.
Yeah, I remember some people have been being a dick.
Yeah. They say you're the yoke of dead pit. Where do they get that at?
I have no idea.
Rob.
Rob puts it in her head. People need to leave her alone. Seriously.
He's super serial.
I'm super serious.
Super
Hey, you're going to make me mad. And that's something you just don't do.
Because then he'll smack me.
Yeah. Only one motherfucker can be mean to her, and that's me. Well, and Aaron can be mean to her, too.
So read that next question, bitch.
He gets khaki rage. Me too. I got my khaki pants on and my Divas belt. Shut up.
Oh, God. Awesome Wells says, my question is about digital downloads. How do you feel about increasingly relying on a digital file for watching films rather than physical media as it has been in the past?
Oh. I'm against it. I mean, I don't download shit anyway. I think I've ever downloaded anything to watch or anything like that. For one thing, I'm of the 80s generation where you actually like wanted to keep and even collect cases and things like that, so I don't care anything about digital downloads of anything, and I don't like watching shit on iPods or any shit like that. So,
well, you got to look at it from both sides, though. We're collectors that just collect movies and like watch them over and over again. But if you're a movie studio and you want to look at the cheapest way of getting the movie out there and making the most money, most profit, the digital download is the way to go. I mean, with most of these, because you got this stuff that's coming out, like the Netflix, and then you've got Vudu, which is another app that's on like a lot of the newer TVs where you can download movies on and stuff. And it's just, and of course the cable, the on-demand and all that stuff. Like, it's a lot easier for people, just common people that watch movies. Like, it's a Friday night, they don't have anything to do. They just want to rent a movie. They don't give a shit about owning it or the case or anything. That's the majority of the people, though. Mm-hmm. So that's just the way it's going to go. And I think as far as, like, there's always going to be a little something, like the cases and stuff like that, I think it will always be certain companies that will do that for just the collectors. But I'm pissed off. I'm not a fan of just having like something on a fucking little flash drive that I want to watch.
It's on a little disc right here. I can jog and watch this moving now.
You can watch it in your fucking car.
Yeah.
I'm always really picky just because I've had a big screen TV ever since I was like 9 years old. I cannot watch a movie on a small screen or anything. Like, I've always had a problem with that.
I have a very hard time paying attention to things. I get antsy.
No.
What?
No,
I get very antsy. I can't sit, and especially if I'm on the go, if I'm going somewhere, if I'm doing something, and I have an iPod or something, I'm not going to bust out my iPod and watch a movie.
Well, it's like,
because there's always something to do. There's always, if you're out and about, I'm not really watching a movie.
Yeah, the digital copies that they put with the movies and stuff, I've never...
I love the fact that if you ever look inside on how they tell you to use it, they're always telling you, you can like, there's always a picture of like an iPod, and then you're supposed to, you know, download it from there onto your iPod.
Yeah.
I've yet to see anybody watch a fucking movie on an iPod.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that does that. Like,
I've watched a movie on an iPod before, and I just you're holding it and you're watching it, and then there's so much you can't, everything in your peripheral vision is going on that you're moving your head from, that you're always looking at something, and it's impossible to pay attention.
They've got these little visors that you can buy where you can put your fucking phone down in there.
Oh,
I swear to God.
Wow.
Like, that won't look fucking ridiculous.
You
at all.
Look like the biggest goddamn nerd
I want
ever.
One.
Like, you were fucking on the trip or something. You got this big little... fucking hat thing on.
I'm watching a movie with my hat on the phone.
Don't talk to me. I'm watching my movie.
All right, let's go.
He says, okay. He says, I miss the artwork on the cases, but trade this for the physical space saved when stored digitally. So I think that he is pro-digital. And he says,
yeah, I mean,
I
think there's pros to it, but at the end of the day, like people that collect the movies, they want to have something else. Like, and what happens when your hard drive fails on whatever you put your movies on? You got to rebuy the shit.
Well, he also mentions the fact that, is that all we lose is just, is that all that people are really concerned about is losing that, or is it part of that the romance of collecting is dying anyways? Because that's one of the big things that you're mentioning now is that
I think now more so than in any other time, people are obsessed with collecting shit. I mean, with all these electronic gadgets and shit that are out there and video games, and I think there's more people collect just shit now than any other time.
What do you mean just like, but like you guys are collectors. You guys collect.
We're hoarders.
I guess what I'm saying is they're so. It moves so fast and there's so much stuff to buy that people, they buy tons of this electronic shit and keep it around like all the time. So they're constantly rebuying this stuff. Like there's different iPods to buy each year. There's different versions of all this different stuff to buy. They're just buying all this stuff over and over
again. Well, it's like,
but they're just kind of keeping up with what's the fad at the time. I don't think they're really.
Exactly. There's just more stuff to keep up with now.
So I think they're instead of collectors, they're consumers.
Right. They're collecting in a way of they're just piling
whatever
shit
the newest thing is.
Right.
Used to take a VCR for example. A VCR didn't fucking change from whenever it came out like 78 to like whenever it died around the late
2000. Yeah.
Now you got this shit coming out. These players and everything, these Blu-rays players and these DVD, or even the DVD players, where it changes so quick. Like,
ultimately what you're going to have is, you're not going to have any players. All this shit's going to be streamed from your TV via, like, internet.
People are just going to implant chips into your brain and just signals from satellites.
Technology in general has just moved so fast in the last 10 years.
Think about all the phones, too.
You
start out with
think of how big the fucking cell phones were 10 years ago compared to now.
They had flip phones, then you had the slider phones, then you had the fucking iPhone.
Smartphones now that can do any damn thing.
Yeah. You can scan barcodes in grocery stores with a fucking phone now.
The scanners now actually are like full scanners, like scanners you use on a computer. It's pretty sick.
So there's always some useless new piece of equipment that somebody can buy. Yeah. And they do.
Hobble.
All right. Trial by Fire says, hey, all, I enjoyed your On the Road review of Black Swan. I am a big fan of Aronofsky and am really looking forward to seeing that. Have you ever seen the film Pi? And if so, what are your thoughts on the movie? If not, then I definitely recommend it.
I've actually never seen it.
I've seen it. I think it was down at Big Lots for like $3.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those bargain discs.
I've never
usually
watched it.
Yeah. No, that's one I've missed out on.
We'll pick it up, though, since it's $3.
Yeah, he says that it's probably one of his favorites that he's ever made. I guess you could describe it as a psychological horror as it depicts one man's descent into madness.
It's psychological.
I don't know. I always was interested in this after I found out who directed it, but I just never picked it up.
It's a horrible title for a film.
Well, it's not even like it's just a pie.
Yeah, I know. But
what about like, what's pie? Like 3.14?
Something like that. But how do you, I mean, what does that have to do with anything? I mean, I'm sure it has something to do with the relevance of the film, but it's a horrible thing to call a film, because people are going to look at it like, what the fuck is that? Like, what's that mean? What kind of film is it?
When it played in the theater, how in the fuck could they put the name on the marquee?
P.I.
Put the pie symbol.
I don't think they had a pie symbol.
No, it's P.I.
Okay.
You can spell it P.I.
I know that, but that's not the name of the movie. The name of the movie was the pie symbol.
Both of you shut up and go on.
What about Prince? He was just a symbol.
I got an idea. Let's just all shit on Prince and fucking call it a day.
If we all took a shit together, it would probably be the size of Prince.
Oh, my God. Anyways, Newt138 says, what was your favorite wrestling fed when you were little? I know that you all grew up in Kentucky.
This guy likes Baw Baw and some others.
Oh, yeah.
Which is part of the South. But it seems like you mentioned WWF more. I grew up in Mississippi and was hooked up with Mid-South, UWF. And PSC says Bob Holly rules. I don't know shit about wrestling, so I don't even...
Well, here's the deal. I don't recall ever seeing anything on television other than WWF and WCW from time to time. Like, I don't remember seeing...
I don't... Yeah. Like, I watched WWF ever since I was, like, 4 years old, off and on, I guess, when I was really young. And I never remember seeing NWA on
TV. But if you went to a show around here at that time, it was usually Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I mean, if you went to, like, a local show...
Well, Smoky Mountain was a little bit later on.
In this era.
Yeah.
Those are the shows that I remember, like, when you went to the high school and stuff, they would have those shows on down there. But I don't remember ever being able to watch anything except that. Except WWF.
I was always a pro WWF supporter.
WCW used to freak me out because they had blood. And when you're a kid and you see that, it was like, it seemed too violent or something.
Give me blood, baby. Yeah, it was WCW, NWA, whatever, was more of the hardcore style. You know, they had the chain link cages, and WWF at the time had just the big blue steel cage.
Yeah, I mean, everything about WWF at that time was centered around kids, really.
Yeah, which is, yeah. And here's the thing. Like, I guess Kentucky's, I always see Kentucky's maybe in a central, because it's not really in the South. Anything Tennessee below is in the South. Kentucky's still sort of the central states thing.
Oh, I think we're in the South. There's shit kickers and, yeah.
Well, there's shit kickers everywhere. But if you look at as far as the location on the damn map,
racism.
Kentucky is like in the center of the United States. It's not really,
yeah, that's true.
It's not really in the north
racism
or the south.
Michigan.
But so there you go. How do you like me now?
Boom, down, down, boom, down, down. I hate you, fucking Bob Holly, you piece of shit.
Alfred H. 1978 says, "Hey guys, have been a longtime fan of the show. I just had a comment on the fact that Uncle Bill seems much more excitable these days now that he's getting his end wet."
I can't sit still over here. I'm dipping my dick in vagina.
I never said anything so amazing.
Who is this douche?
I don't know. But
Alfred H. 97. Alfred, my friend.
It's awesome.
I love the fact that you read that, too, and didn't have any idea what was coming. Since he gets his end wet, and then, like, when you said it,
is
you
he
realize,
British? Is he British?
When you get a portion. I got bad news, though, Alfred. I was actually getting my end wet before, like, Jesco came around. That wasn't the issue. Although, I must say that I'm much happier now.
Aww.
Than I was then.
Aw, that's sweet.
Aw. I'm happier now, too. Even though you're not licking my butt as often.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. It's great.
Wait a minute. Did he just say you had the best rack in the whore business?
That's what it says. Is he talking about me?
Yeah. No, he's talking about me.
You have the best rack.
Oh! I wish you could see that out there. Isn't it?
I'm moving my titties.
No, he says it's great to have Jessica as a new member. She has the best rack in the whore business. I don't know how.
So there's another Jessica fan. That's a compliment. Shit.
Aww.
She does have a nice rack.
Yeah. You know she's giving the $5 hand jobs at Whorehound Weekend.
I am.
$5 hand jobs!
We'll get you a big thing of Astroglide, too.
Give me 30, I'll take
all right,
off.
All right, folks, buckle in, because it's a Cody LL question. We're going to be here for two nights. Come
Cody!
On.
Cody!
All right.
Get ready.
I've been meaning to say this for a while, but I kept forgetting. I really enjoyed those commentaries I bought from you at Scarefest. I really felt bad for you guys during the Twilight one, because you both sounded like you were in real physical pain. That movie looks like shit. I have no clue why my sister or anybody, for that matter, likes it. Aw.
Your sister likes it because she's dumb.
Anyway, I've never understood why Wes Craven wouldn't do any sequels to A Nightmare on Elm Street, and yet he's directed every Scream movie. Was it because Nightmare was something he actually wrote, or because the Scream series is more profitable, or what? I never understood that. Well, I mean, that Never Sleep Again documentary really kind of went through that pretty well. Like, the reason why he didn't do any more Nightmare movies. I thought it did a pretty good job at, you know, detailing that out.
Well, I'm trying to remember what the hell it was about the second movie that why he didn't take that.
Because the script was, he thought it was really bad, didn't he, or something. He just thought it was stupid.
He had a lot of disagreements with Bob Shea, too, about the way that the film should go. And I think Bob Shea was the one that really kind of pushed him out.
Their disagreements.
Well, the thing, too, about people don't remember Scream, that damn movie made a fortune, too. Like, that was a huge success. It made way more money than any other Wes Craven movie, so... Of course, he's going to fucking cash in. And like,
maybe, back at that time, maybe he actually had some semblance of dignity, like John Carpenter, where he wouldn't go and make like sequels to his films.
But you got
to
remember, before Scream, what the fuck was Wes Craven doing? He wouldn't do shit.
Nothing.
Yeah. So his career was like dead and then moved up.
He was producing shit.
Yeah. He was producing those Dracula 3000 movies or whatever it was.
Dracula. Was it like they or them?
I don't know.
Oh, that was
a piece of
shit.
Oh, that's the thing, right? Yeah, like now he's back to doing shit, pretty much. He's making
another. Why are you saying My Soul to Take was awesome?
It was.
That was the best movie ever. That was the best movie of 2010.
Yeah, totally different reasons.
One last thing. Last week when you guys were talking about an upcoming movie based on Magna, you wondered what Magna is. Magna is what they call comic books over in Japan.
Manga.
And now you know. Take care, you three. Aww.
But
now we know. We just had the star of
the
rainbow.
Yeah, the more you know. So manga is a Japanese comic book. I didn't know that.
Hell yeah.
He just fucking cracked the egg of knowledge all over us.
I don't know.
Sitting on his cloud, passing down life lessons.
I don't really, as far as comic book goes, I don't know anything about that shit anyway, especially Japanese comic books. So
domo.
Domo arigato.
Oh, I love this guy. Cunt Wrecker. That's awesome.
Oh, this is legendary Cunt Wrecker.
Cunt Wrecker. That's an awesome name. This guy's my new best friend.
Cunt Wrecker Johnson.
Love to be a woman.
Yeah.
That would be even better.
Bitch, I'm gonna wreck your cunt.
Says, I remember CK and Uncle Bill talking about making a Dead Pit Hall of Fame where they induct various people who were involved in the horror business into the Hall of Fame. I was wondering if that idea is still open for the future.
Well, actually, we're in negotiations to do a pity awards
for real.
The Fright Night Film Fest.
Yeah, I guess it would be like a real physical award show.
So, that would probably be a good idea for the biggest award of the year or something.
Yeah, like they do in WWE before you induct somebody into like the Dead Pit Hall of Fame.
I don't know. Who would be in the Hall of Fame?
I think it would seem pretty obvious about that show.
Yeah, we could base it around who's going to be there and shit. That'd be cool. That'd be pretty cool.
Then we could get up there and actually like have some interaction with them.
Hey!
Hey! We inducted you in the Hall of Fame. You don't know who we are. Come on.
He says, P.S. CK's favorite hobby is watching ROH DVDs while listening to the Ramones.
Oh, God, don't get him started, please.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Here it comes. I feel it coming.
I don't do requests.
I love it. Like, if you want him to do it, he's like, no.
He never does it. He's like, I don't do requests. Okay.
So who we got next, Jessica?
We have Blizzard Bob. He says...
and then this is the longest male portion of all time.
It is. Which is good, though. Which is good.
Yeah, it shows you that people are starting to really support the bag.
They want to get deep in my bag.
Ooh!
Really?
Sounds like a cow pulling its foot out of the mud, doesn't it?
Make little fart noises, too.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to make me throw up. I really am very queasy. You cannot do that.
Okay, go.
Do you guys think Derek Mears will play Jason in a sequel?
You'll have to tune in next week to find out.
Yep. Michael Bay is out of the picture now, and hopefully they still keep Mears in the franchise.
I don't know if Michael Bay is out of the picture, though. From what he said in the interview, we'll have to wait and tune in next week.
You'll see. You'll see. Yeah. Just hang in there with
him. Okay, now this is the last question.
Woo! Woo! Ooh, ooh, ooh.
This is from Joe Pacifico Garcia.
He short, y'all.
He's Pacifico.
What about you, Rico?
Hello, my
tequila.
I really want Mexican food. Talk about Pacifico.
She wants Mexican food, cookies, pie, cake, baklava.
He says, hey, guys, just wanted you to know that I've booked the Crown Plaza Hotel in Addison, Texas. And we'll be holding the biggest Friday convention the world has ever seen. Not Friday the 13th. I'm talking about Friday. The movie with Ice Cube.
You just got the fuck knocked.
Or what was the line?
You
just
got
knocked
the
fuck
out.
Yeah.
We'll be bringing in every cast member from all three movies and even some of the production crew, including gaffers and the best boy from part two. For many, such as Nia Long and DJ Pooh, this will be their very first convention ever.
Hells yeah.
We're looking to get Tiny Lister to be the master of ceremonies, but I'm having some difficulties with his agent. Jesus.
Has he got any personal issues going on right now, too, that's helping him, that's causing some problems with the show?
Yeah.
That you folks don't want to know about.
He's got a severe Pacifico addiction.
Joe's addicted to Pacifico. I'm sure these issues will be resolved by showtime. However, look for me to make a big surprise announcement.
The what? Announcement?
Yeah. Announcement about the show on President's Day. What the hell? No.
Yeah, I'm in support of Joe's Friday convention.
Me
for sure.
Too.
Yeah.
As long as there's a Friday convention and lots of beer.
And it's the Crown Plaza in Texas.
That's going to be awesome. I'll be set.
Well, we were talking about doing a show. I was going to book the entire convention at Chuck E. Cheese.
It smells like feet at Chuck E. Cheese. Too many fucking kids in Chuck E. Oh. And they smell like feet and snot.
Well, kids smell like shit usually.
And kids,
they shit themselves way too
quite
much.
Quite frequently, yeah. It's a problem.
But that was the mailbag? God damn, that was a long-ass bag.
Yeah, but Joe says, oh, and before I forget, beaches!
Well, that's his new thing.
When are we going to do the beaches retrospective?
I don't know, but
we should do a beaches
Joe
drunken commentary.
About beaches, I really want to watch beaches.
You know
now.
What? That's actually a really good idea.
A beaches drunken commentary.
That would be awesome. We got to do that.
You've actually got to bring your laptop, though, and let me equip it with all the stuff to record it with.
That would be awesome.
If it would actually work. Like, your laptop has problems. I don't know.
My laptop does have problems.
It almost exploded.
Uncle Bill will bring his down here and we'll equip
it. You ain't touched my laptop.
My laptop almost exploded the other day. Aaron had to fix it for me.
Well, fuck.
We don't have any way of recording it then.
Beaches.
So we're going to take a break. We're going to get to some quick reviews on movies. And then we're going to go build some snowmen.
Yay.
Yay.
Here on DeadPeer.com.
One step beyond.
Hey, Uncle Bill!
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm Kim.
You know Dead Pit fans out there? Not a lot of them know about the midweek obliteration.
I thought everybody knew. It's the hottest thing going today.
You can go on Facebook. Check it out on the Dead Pit Universe page. Brand new show almost every damn week. You can hear us bullshitting.
And, in a historical first, there's a new member of Dead Pit. Jesco!
Hey, Jesco.
Hi. You like joining in on the midweek obliteration every week. You like getting obliterated by two Eastern Kentuckians, don't you?
Lay it down with your sweet, sultry voice.
Obliterate all over my face.
You know you have a lot of guys that masturbate your voice on a weekly basis now.
Oh, God, it's just Oh, it's just going to mail to me.
She's a girl. She likes home movies. She's on dad pad. That's the perfect girl for me.
I'll just came a little bit in my pants.
How's that make you feel? You're now like a hillbilly sexual icon.
A hillbilly sexual icon?
Yeah.
Goats and sisters.
And you can hear all about it. Hey, I ask Jessica some of the nastiest shit known to man almost every week on the Midweek Obliteration, and she answers it, and she has respect for it, don't you?
What the fuck? She has respect for
respect
these questions. Yeah,
for me. Disgusting. Yeah, telling her about what a blumpkin he is and all that.
Oh, good lord.
She's going to try that on Uncle Bill over there.
Nobody touching me when I'm shitting. I don't give a damn what the reason is.
Even if I go in there and be like, hey.
I'm going to get out. What are you doing?
She's like, you crazy.
Pull your dick out of the toilet. Give it to me.
Oh, God.
Hear all that on the midweek.
Obliteration.
Yay.
Lucky McKee, director of May, and you're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Welcome back!
Welcome back, Jessica.
Welcome back.
You're becoming more and more favorite of a Dead Pit. More and more popular, I guess.
Yeah, people talking about your rack and everything.
I was going to say, because I have a nice rack.
Yeah.
That's right. Because I'm helping you get more excited.
I am excited.
Yeah, yeah, get his end wet.
You're going to get your end wet. Yep. And because I have a really nice rack.
It's true. And you're giving the $5 hand jobs at Whorehound.
$5 hand jobs. $5 hand jobs. $10 hand jobs if I spit on it. $15, I'll take.
Spit on it with violence is $15.
I'll spit on it for $10. I'll spit on it and then $15.
Spit on it and look like you're
going to
bite it off or something. Ah! So, but also though, everybody needs to remember next week is part two of our two-part interview with the legendary Derek Mears, the newest man behind the mask. So you gotta get all excited about that shit.
He's gonna slice and dice his way into your heart.
And depending on how things go. Keep it up on the Dead Pit. Keep up on the Dead Pit. I've been doing the Saturday Nightmares. I've done it last week. I may do it again this week. Without you, of course.
Well, how the hell am I going to do it?
That's what I was saying. You ain't got the internet.
Son of a bitch. How dare you do that without me?
But something that Rob had a good idea of that we might promote the hell out of it, and you guys will just be watching us because I ain't going to interact with any of you motherfuckers. Whorehound weekend, we could do like a live Saturday Nightmares from there using Rob's shit.
That'd be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's nothing possible could go wrong with that.
Oh, of course not.
Well, none of it's going to be recorded anyway. Dream it. That's my Jess impersonation. So, we got reviews to get to.
Let's do this shit.
And it's going to be a lot of fun because I'm glad this is going to be the last goddamn Saw movie I ever have to review on this show. Every fucking year, there's a fucking Saw movie that comes out that we have to review for Dead Pit. Now, they say this is the final chapter, and we all know what comes after the final chapter.
A new beginning.
A new beginning. And that'll be fucking Saw 8 or whatever. So, this is the 7th Saw movie.
That's hard to believe.
Which is so embarrassing that never put Saw 7 on here. It's just Saw 3D, the final chapter. And I don't even know how I can prepare you motherfuckers for the plot of this, because there really is no... I mean, it just really continues on from the 4th, 5th, and 6th film.
Yeah, I was thinking about this, and just to give like a brief synopsis of this movie and not get involved in all the tangled subplots that have been going throughout the friggin' past four or five films.
Yeah.
Cary Elwes is back. Okay.
He wasn't dead.
You thought he was dead, but you were clearly wrong. How dare you assume you're wrong. And Cary Elwes has a big part in the film, and he's, you'll find out at the end.
He does have a major role in
the
movie.
He doesn't have a big part in it, but yeah, he does have a major role. So this one really centers around the new shitty, Jigsaw henchman, that Constance Mandalore guy, trying to kill Betsy Russell throughout the entire film for revenge on what she did to him in the last film, which I barely remembered any of that.
I don't remember it either.
I have no idea.
mixed with this new guy who is the centerpiece for the whole film, who is he claims to be a survivor of one of Jigsaw's traps, but he wrote a book about it, but he really didn't survive the trap. He just kind of falsified it like that one dude did on Oprah that wrote that book about drug addiction. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the basis of the movie.
That's
so,
probably where they got the idea from.
Probably.
So people this guy.
I know, this is what we can do.
I seen it on Oprah.
He has to go back and actually be in the trap now because Jigsaw's mad at him because he acted like he was in it but really wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell him about and got it all up in a...
Tobin Bell is in it in, like, flashbacks.
He's all pissy and shit.
Tobin Bell's like, do you think it's okay to make lies and talk about things that aren't true?
I don't think it's okay, guy.
But you know, one thing about it that I noticed is that they aren't going... I was talking about this when we were watching it, that in the very beginning, he was trying to prove these lessons to these people about them doing something in their life that was so wrong and that they need to learn their lesson. Well, now he's just kind of picking on people for no reason. It's just like, I don't know, you look like,
yeah, like
you'd fit.
The opening scene was like this woman that was cheating on, like,
well,
with fucking
boyfriend.
Two guys.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, it was so stupid. I mean, that happens all the time. Everybody does it. Everybody. It happens to everybody. There's always somebody and another guy, and then you're lying to them both.
Wonder what Jigsaw would do with that porn star Houston. Fuck 500 guns. Yeah. Like,
you're cheating on the 499 other men.
I have 500 nails getting ready to go up your asshole and badge.
Yeah, I will say, though, that I was highly entertained by this movie because I thought a lot of the death scenes in the actual traps were really, really cool. Probably more so than any of the other Saw films.
It was really gory, too.
Yeah,
like, I know it was the
extremely gory.
Unrated version. I really liked the Betsy Russell death scene. That was pretty cool. And, you know, the games themselves were pretty neat. But, I don't know. I mean, the majority of the movie, like, it just seems to me like, to be like a more of a R-rated, cop drama or something.
It's such a piece of shit the way they do it now. For like the last four movies, all they do is they get to the end of the movie and then somebody will show up and then they show you everything that person did in flashbacks.
Yeah.
It's just such a cop-out.
It's their way to get around.
Yeah, it doesn't have to make any sense
at all. Stupid. It just seems like, too, like, the only thing that I can visualize that it wasn't a death scene in the Saw movies is just some dude running around in some fucking basement with a dress shirt on with blood on it. Like, that's all the movies. There's some guy running around with, like, khaki pants and a dress shirt, much like you.
Right.
With blood and shit. And he's like, ah, what am I going here? Ah!
You mean walking through the traps and stuff?
Well, he's just, and walking into the next trap or whatever. And
I know, I've seen this movie in the theaters, and I was bored with it, but I got to see it 3D. And that was kind of cool, because there's parts of it that were 3D that come out on the screen, and it was exciting, but I was texting through the movie. I was really kind of bored.
I was trying to figure out, though, in the... This fucking thing, is it just for like those 3D televisions or something?
Yeah, the Blu-ray, which, by the way, I had a problem watching the Blu-ray on one of my Blu-ray players.
Here's the thing. We watched the Blu-ray the first time on the PlayStation 3, and then the second time I tried to watch it, it didn't fucking work.
Nope.
So I don't know why.
It only worked once.
Yeah,
we
it's
had
weird.
We switch over to the DVD.
Yeah, that's how I had to watch it. I watched it on, because it looked, I mean, it worked, but it looked fucked up or something. Like, I don't know what the deal
is. It looked weird, like, because we were trying to flip through the setup and everything, and then
like,
it just fucking wouldn't work.
Well, here's what it would do on the Blu-ray. Each time there was a cut on the camera, the screen would fuck up for a little bit and then look all right. Like, I've never seen that before.
That's really shitty that they're doing that, though.
But this is the Blu-ray 3D thing. I'm not even sure.
I'm sure it probably has something to do with the fact that it's a Blu-ray and Blu-ray 3D.
How many, how many people actually have 3D TVs?
Nobody, really.
I would say probably less than, like, 0.5% in Eastern Kentucky.
And it's going to fade out. I mean, I don't think it's going to take off and go anywhere. I really don't.
I just think that, yeah, like we were saying earlier, it's just too much new shit you have to buy.
It's fucking retarded.
But let's talk about special features on this, though. You got the 3D Blu-ray version of the film, the 2D Blu-ray version of the feature film, which I could not find the goddamn 3D version of the film on there. Or any place to, like,
well,
turn it on.
No, that's the thing. Like, I think it just automatically detects if it's the 3D version, if you've got the 3D.
Okay.
All that shit hooked. I don't know how it works.
You have producer's commentary, writer's commentary, deleted and extended scenes, music videos, 52 Ways to Die, featurette. Lionsgate Live, 7.1 DTS HD Master Audio for the Blu-ray. And then the second disc is the standard DVD version of the film. And this is all from Lionsgate, of course.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot worse of these movies, actually, than this one. Especially considering how awesome some of the death scenes were, so.
Yeah.
If you like these movies, you'll love
this. Hey, you know what? I don't like the Saw movies, but shit. That's not that. I mean, the death scenes and stuff, the gore and all that, it was pretty cool. I mean, I'll say that for it. But
let's just pray to God it really is the final chapter.
I've had enough of the Saw movies. At least give us a 3 or 4 year break. God damn. I mean, that's fucking ridiculous, because you've had, since 2004 was the first movie, every year there's a goddamn Saw movie. I don't know if any other franchise has done that.
No.
You know,
I don't think so.
Not taking a break in like 6 years, 7 years. So anyway, yeah, that's Saw 7, Saw 3D from Lionsgate Films. That actually comes out this Tuesday. It's not out yet. We get the advanced screening because...
Look
at that. Yeah. Next one up is a one that I've been meaning to review for quite a while. And Fred Vogel, who we had on the show a couple years ago now, I guess. He's a really nice guy, and we don't always, like, you know, put over his movies. But I think he's one of those guys, like, unlike a lot of the independent filmmakers out there, like, man, you just want your honest opinion on shit, and we're definitely going to give it to him. With the latest, which is another, like, toe tag picture, Sela Terzica. I wish I knew how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
We're from Eastern Kentucky. That's our excuse. What's yours?
I have no idea. I don't know how to read. That's my excuse.
And this is like the second movie that he's ever done that wasn't first person. What in the hell are you doing? Oh, that's lovely. It was the first, I think it was the second movie that he'd ever done that wasn't the camcorder.
The other one being...
camcorder style.
Yeah, I mean, all the August Underground films are camcorder style.
Which is what he made his money with, let's be honest. True. Like, and got his following from. And this is more like a traditional movie, like shot-wise and stuff. Like,
I don't know. Did he decide? I think I read an article that said that after that Christy Wiles left... that they basically decided not to do that format anymore. The August Underground style.
Yeah,
movie.
Well, they did do, there's been so many. He did the one that was the porn.
Maskhead. Yeah.
Yeah. And he did Murder Collection, which I actually thought that was pretty cool. That was one that he did.
Yeah, which was kind of the same
and those
style.
Those are not really, yeah, those are really sort of the same style. And this is structured like a regular movie. And the story behind this one is, like, The son comes back, I think Brad, comes back from, like, I'm guessing it's the Middle East, from,
Afghanistan.
Yeah. And, the family are eagerly anticipating his arrival. They haven't seen him, you know, and they thought he was dead for a while. I think he was missing or something like that, and they found him. So he comes back, and there's like a big ragtag group of people in the home, you know, sister's boyfriend, brother-in-law, or sister-in-law or whatever. A lot of people in the house, the mother. So he comes back, everyone notices, like, there's something wrong with this guy. He doesn't look the same, you know. And it's not one of those deals where he just mentally, you know, looks fucked. They actually make him up and...
Yeah, they make him look dead.
Yeah, he looks kind of like a zombie.
Yeah, he looks near death.
In a lot of ways. And
I guess that's where the comparisons between this movie and Death Dream really start. You got a guy that apparently went to a war normal and comes back, and he's just real gaunt, and he looks fucked up, and there's clearly something wrong with him. I mean, throughout the movie, he kind of deteriorates more and more to the point where you realize that he's not really the same person that he was before. But this one definitely ends in a different way than Death Dreams.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a twist ending on this one. And this one has, like, for a lower budget movie, some amazing, like, special effects works towards the end, like death sequences and stuff like that. I thought it was pretty good. But again, I mean, this is like, I don't know what the budget was on this, but their movies, they couldn't have been a whole lot. They get a lot of their friends and I think they had met, Camille Keaton, who we all know from I Spit on Your Grave. She was like the main star in this, and Jade Rizzer, who was also in Murder Set Pieces as a younger kid, the blonde sister.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Who I hadn't seen in forever, and actually has grown up quite a bit. But other than that, like, I don't know any of the actors or actresses in the movie. So your thoughts, Uncle Bill?
Well, I actually think that. We were talking about this film coming down here, and she had some hilarious fucking thoughts about certain portions of the film. So I'd like for you to repeat that conversation.
Yeah. I didn't repeat everything. I don't remember what I said.
Well, for one thing, talk about the relationship.
Okay, set this up. Have you seen any of the other Toe Tag movies?
No.
Have you seen a lot of, put your microphone up there. Have you seen a lot of, independent movies, usually?
I've seen a handful of independent movies. I haven't seen a lot, but I've seen enough.
Alright, so, yeah, what do you think?
On the line of independent movies, I liked it for some of the independent movies I've seen are really suck, but this one wasn't that bad. I liked it for an independent movie. But the part that was interesting enough for me was not so much about the soldier story, not so much with what was going on with him, why he looked so zombified and shit, and the twist ending. I was more interested in the relationship between the blonde girl, the sister, and her boyfriend. That was an extremely weird story. I was really interested in that because it's like this guy would never fucking leave. He was just in the house. He wouldn't leave.
She didn't have anywhere to go.
I was thinking that maybe you should leave. Maybe you should go home because things are getting kind of awkward. He's like, no, hon, I'm going to stay here. This is how I'm going to be. I'm going to stay right here.
I'm going to eat some cake.
I'm going to give me some cake. Oh, it's going to interfere with your lactose. I'll be shitting everywhere though. I don't care. Give me some ice cream, bitch. And it was just so weird, and then like he showed up in their house and like in her bed, and like then she's talking to her brother and like how he's like looking more and more zombie. Like she didn't even give. She's like, "You broke my phone." She was just that was a hoot.
Yeah, well, I mean, you'll see occasionally, like, independent movies, I think they do stuff like that just to take up time or something.
Yeah, I think that's the real point.
That was, like, that could be a movie in itself. It was just, that could be a movie about a domestic violent relationship because he was clearly abusive to her and she didn't even fucking notice and nor did anybody else in the house. They're like, oh, they're upstairs arguing again. Well, like, it's just okay.
Well, really, I think that you realize with movies like this, independent movies like this, it's all really just a setup to get to the ending,
yeah.
To get to the gore and shit. Like, they're just trying to figure out, like, a way to get to that point because they know that's what's going to sell the movie.
I'll tell you, though, man, like...
I was so happy when that bitch died.
Oh, the blonde?
Yeah.
I got to say, though, I think, like, the big mistake that he made with this one was... Like, okay, you have a lot of your friends who aren't really trained actors or actresses or anything like that, and your big star is the shittiest actress of the entire movie. Like, I don't even know if she was really that good in I Spit on Your Grave. She didn't really have that many speaking lines in that movie or anything. But, like, I know that they're probably friends with her. Like, she's always at the Cinema Wasteland shows that they're at. And she's just, oh, God, that's the one, it's just glaringly awful. As far as, like, you know, her acting in the movie, her delivery of lines, she just looks like a deer in the headlights when she's on camera. It's really looked like she was really uncomfortable.
I always find especially this movie, I never really noticed it that much in other movies, that basically the family that they're trying to portray is supposed to be like a middle class American normal family, right? But the problem is that everybody that Fred Vogel knows are all crazy ass, like, tattooed up, mohawk wearing motherfucker. So they tried to fill up all the normal rooms with all these people. It looks like that they came straight out like an 80s biker film or something. I mean, I guess for that reason.
Well, I think it was one couple and they explained that, like, they run a tattoo shop or something.
Yeah, but everybody in the film. Fred Vogel is the actual guy that wheels him out in the wheelchair when he's coming back for the first time.
Yeah.
And you can clearly see all the tattoos on his arms and stuff. Like, people that do that kind of stuff, they don't have all that shit on them. You become aware that it is just a group of people that are just making this film, and it's not real by that. I mean.
Yeah. Well, it did seem like a lot of the characters in the movie, too, were, aside from Camille Keaton, they were all pretty much the same age, too. Yeah. They were in that general.
Yeah, it was just weird.
You have
like
to actually cast.
Yeah, the casting of it was odd. It took away from me being able to pay attention to certain parts of the movie because it was just odd. Some of the roles that these people were playing, and then the contrast.
That one dude
too
looked
much.
Like he had the fucking mange or something. What kind of haircut was that?
Well, I have no idea. He would look really good if he would just shave all of the hair off. He would look really good.
He looked like a fucking wrestler or something.
He did,
But you know what? I mean, I think Fred Vogel's one of those guys, though, that, like, and the problem is with making independent movies, too, is, like, it's really hard to cast people because it's not like you're going to be paying them. Mm. You know, they're not, and I don't even know if he pays them, but I'm sure if he does, it's not going to be a lot of money. I mean, maybe Camille Keaton got something for it, but.
I'm sure she did. On the bright side, though, I mean, he's got a base of fans that will watch any movie that comes out.
Yeah, I mean, he's already built up his audience, and I'd like to see him do more movies like this along those lines. I mean, it is a lot like Death Dream. It's way too much like Death Dream, I think, is the problem. Yeah, you better quit that. Wouldn't you agree, though? Like, it's just...
Except for the ending.
I know what he said. I mean, well, yeah, there is a twist ending, but the whole plot of the movie is Death Dream.
Yeah, I mean, I remember reading in Rue Morgue where they asked him about that, and he said that the comparison, he'd never seen Death Dream before he made this movie and wasn't aware of it until after they made it or while they were making it or something like that. It's exactly the same plot up until the end of the movie, really.
Yeah, and it's almost like, I almost believe that, and it's like he added the whole twist thing at the end to make it different than, I think, initially, Brad was going to be just a dead motherfucker that had come back to life, but they had added the little twist on at the end. I don't know. You know, we'll probably never find out, but, yeah. If you want to check it out,
You can go to toetag.biz, B-I-Z. And, you know, a lot of the movies, you actually should check out the August Underground movies. I'd be interested in hearing what your opinion were of those. And
they're a special type of film, I'll say that.
Yeah. Well, it's an ingenious idea, you know. And at the time it came out, I think, like I remember when he told us that had 9/11 not happened then, I think it would have been a major, major hit, the first one, you know, because what his whole idea was, like the whole thing in the movie is like a snuff film, a real snuff film that somebody just found on the street, right? Mm-hmm. His idea was to just, instead of releasing the movie in various locations in New York or wherever, just leave tapes of the movie laying around for people to grab and maybe watch,
mm-hmm.
and to have it pass, be passed along, mm-hmm. and then release it after it gets like a, because it does look real, you know, I'll give him that. It looks like mm-hmm. There's nothing fake about those movies at all, especially the first one. So anyway, that's, Sila Tarika, Turkina.
We never figured it out.
Tarsitha.
Tarsitha.
And, I enjoyed it. I think, Camille Keaton, though, needs to just keep doing conventions and quit trying to act.
Quit acting. Just do conventions.
Yeah. Just do your Cinema Wasteland show twice a year. Give up on the acting career because, you know.
But thanks for trying.
Yeah. Appreciate you trying. She actually, like, sort of channeled Margot Prey from Troll 2 in that movie a little bit.
She did, yeah.
So, anyway. That is Sila Tarsina, Sika. And that has been the show. I'd like to thank Uncle Bill for joining us.
Thank you.
With his, you know, with his khaki pants and button-up shirt. And Jess over there with the nicest rack on Dead Pit Radio.
Yep.
And I'd like to thank myself for doing the show. And Derek Mears. We're going to have him back next week. He's going to stop back by in the Dead Pit Studio. We're going to talk about everything post or Friday the 13th onward.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So, thank a very special thanks to you, the listener.
I'm just going to thank, yeah. I'm going to thank Beaches.
Thank Pacifico.
Thank Pacifico.
And that is it for this week. It's been fun. Had a lot of fun.
It's been real.
Yeah. And we will be back. Derek Mears, part 2, next week. On DeadPit.com.
Johnny was a schoolboy when he heard his first Beatles song. Love Me Do, I think it was, but from there it didn't take him long. Got himself a guitar, used to play every night. Now he's in a rock and roll outfit and everything's alright. Don't you know? Johnny told his mama, hey mama, I'm going away. I'm gonna hit the big time, gonna be a big star someday. Yeah. Mama came to the door with a teardrop in her eye. So don't cry, mama, smile and wave goodbye. Don't you know? Song. Watching the world go by, surprisingly goes so fast.